there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your head. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there.
Welcome to On the Wing podcast presented by Purina Pro Plan. Coming at you from another one of our national sponsors, the longest running national partner we have, Federal Ammunition. And I am sitting underneath what would be considered two non-typical bucks. Do you guys know anything about the two bucks I'm sitting underneath?
No, well, there's a tag on that one, so we could probably cheat and look at who shot that one, but
they're enormous. I'm at the Federal Ammunition. This is called the
clubhouse. Yeah, the clubhouse. Yeah,
and it, you know, monster elk, a bison. We need to get you guys a pheasant.
Well,
here,
Bob, I wasn't going to say it, but there is a rooster above the men's restroom door as you're walking in there. So I'm not sure how the placement happened, but there is a rooster.
Where are the quail? Is your Mearns quail in here somewhere?
No, we needed to. We should put some quail in here, though. Yeah. I think right in the entryway.
The voices you hear, most recently, John Zinnel, and just before that, Jason Nash. Two guys I've worked with a long time at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Jason, we'll start with you because I feel like our careers have mirrored each other. Like, we were talking, I started on January 6, 2003 with Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. And you started in March of 2003, right?
That's right. Yep. So exactly, well, 22 years almost. Yeah, almost exactly.
So for listeners, we're here because you guys donated for the third year running.
Yep.
A factory tour to our fundraising efforts at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic this past year in Kansas City. Kurt Swenson, a chapter volunteer in North Dakota, purchased it for the third year running.
That's right.
And so first of all, thank you guys for making that donation. It's raised at this point thousands of dollars with this donation.
Yeah, I think we're over 10,000 overall, because this year we doubled down because Kurt was all in and he wanted to come again, and so then we sold a second one to the next bidder and we've got both groups here today, so that's been great.
So thank you to Federal, thank you to Kurt obviously, and thank you to our new group here. You guys are super generous, always have been for decades, and that's a little bit about what we'll talk about, but super generous. So while folks are going on the tour, which I've been on this tour, I think I have a punch card. I've been on it so many times.
You're about due to cash in on your punches then.
I was actually going to volunteer to be the tour guide, but I thought, you know what? I'll do a podcast. I could have probably operated one of the machines, I think, inside. But thank you guys for doing not only the tour, but for doing the podcast. Let's start with Jason, maybe give just an introduction to folks, who you are, where you grew up, you know, your hunting background, dog preference, and then tell us a little bit about what you do for Federal.
Yeah, Jason Nash, as you mentioned, I've been here 22 years, started in the advertising agency world, born and raised in Minnesota. My parents are from Texas and Oklahoma, but somehow they had me up here, so it was kind of interesting how I made my way up here. But I've been born and raised in St. Paul. Hmm. I went to school in Duluth, Minnesota, UMD. And then I've been here now for, as we talked about, 22 years. My first experience with hunting, as many Minnesotans have, is with grouse. Hmm. Yep. And I was 12 years old. A family friend of mine invited me to go, and my dad went along with us. And that was where I just fell in love with grouse hunting and upland hunting.
Yeah.
And from there it grew from, you know, grouse to pheasant to bear to deer, you know, everything pretty much on the planet. I've had a chance to hunt a lot of different species, so it's been fantastic. And English setter was my favorite dog breed. I don't have one now. We've got kind of family pets right now, but I'll be working on another pointing dog here pretty soon.
Right. There'll be a lot of listeners thrilled to hear the English setter shout out.
He was a big, tall Llewellyn setter.
Nice.
Yeah, 70-pound dog. A lot of fun to hunt with.
So parents from Oklahoma and Texas, they think you're just out of your mind going to school in Duluth?
Well, you know, they moved me here. Yeah. They had me here, so it's their own fault. But
were they quail hunting background in your family?
My dad quail hunted growing up, yeah. Oh. So he definitely inspired me to get out and chase birds. And, yeah.
So you mentioned you lead up marketing for Federal, but then also all the brands, right? So Remington, Heavy Shot, brand new, Fiocchi. So this all these brands, tell us a little bit about what you do as the head of marketing for Federal.
Yeah, we are part of, it's kind of like the Procter & Gamble of the outdoor hunting and shooting world. Mm-hmm. The Kinetic Group is our holding company name, and we have Federal, CCI, Speer, Heavy Shot, Remington, and Fiocchi has recently joined us as well. So it's really exciting to work with all these different brands. Each one has its own place, you know, in the world, and its separate space and separate, you know, feel and look and benefits that they provide to the consumer. But when we have all those products together under one roof, it gives us the opportunity to share some technologies and really give people the best product that they can buy, no matter which brand it is.
Hmm. It's interesting because even within each brand, I think about Federal, right? They have you have so many different SKUs within Federal that meet different target audiences too. I mean, it just kind of dominate the ammunition category.
We've got a lot of experience, a lot of great people, and we get to share that knowledge across factories to keep our employees safer and to make better products. But we also have dedicated teams to make sure that those brands are still, you know, their personality, what they stand for, their technological differences are still evident. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to blend everything together. So it's important that as you sit here in Federal, there's a culture here. Mm-hmm. It's been here for 103 years, and the team here lives and breathes maroon. Mm-hmm. and premium. You know, they're definitely all about Federal and bringing the best product to the customer who loves Federal.
The Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever audience feels the same way because we want our listeners to buy, well, Federal for sure, but the logo on the box, look for that because it helps support our habitat mission, which we'll touch on a little bit as well. John, give us a background. You've been on the podcast, but it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
Give folks a little bit about your background.
Yeah, a number of years. So John Zinnel, I was actually born in southern Minnesota in Worthington, but raised mostly in north central Iowa. So my brothers, they're still back there. My wife's from western Iowa, but spent a lot of time out west. And so after school, I headed out west, worked for some other conservation organizations in the nonprofit space, but now been with the ammunition side here for almost 10 years. So not nearly the tenure as most of the folks here at the factory and at our locations, but moving on through there. So we've been back to Minnesota now for almost 8 of those years. So just exciting stuff.
I know you've talked about the other conservation groups you've worked for, mm-hmm. but that's super interesting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So firstly, I worked for Safari Club International. At the time, they were headquartered out of Tucson, Arizona. So I picked up, was in college in Missouri, and I picked up and moved to Tucson, Arizona on my own, and was probably the youngest one in their office by 40 years, if I was to take a guess at it. But worked in their education department and managed an education facility in Jackson, Wyoming. So I spent the summers in Jackson, Wyoming. I spent the winters in Tucson. So right out of college, I was in a retirement job. And it worked out well.
Great, Wyoming,
yeah.
In Tucson in the winter?
It was great until you wanted to decide to settle down and have a girlfriend and have a family and do that whole scenario where, you know, not everybody wants to live in the mountains with no cell service and no ability to connect on a daily basis. But it was a great facility because they were educating adults, school teachers mostly, from all across the country in wildlife conservation and shooting sports. So that's where my background was. And then from there went to the Mule Deer Foundation, again in the western U.S., mm-hmm. and worked to develop and implement their education and outreach programs at their chapter levels from their national office. And so spent a lot of time traveling the countryside and actually partnering with Pheasants Forever and your guys' outreach programs within there. So my whole goal in the process was to not reinvent the wheel, because there were so many good things that were happening. So let's pull together all these great partners, whether it's pheasants or another deer group or an elk group or a duck group, and let's have a larger, better, more functioning opportunity for these newcomers to come together. And it was a great thing and a great space for all the parties that were involved. Mm.
Tell us a little bit about what you do today, because as I think about the industry, you're grinning, Jason. Like, John's got one of the coolest jobs in the industry.
Yeah. It changes from day to day. You never know what you're going to wake up and what you're going to have to do.
Work with everybody.
Yeah,
everybody knows your name.
For good or bad, I guess on that front. But so for the company, it definitely is unique. So just like Jason, under the Kinetic Group brands, getting the opportunity to represent such strong brands in the industry, mm-hmm. is something that I'm proud of, and every other employee is as well. But I get to stay in that education space. I get to stay in the conservation space, and a lot of what we do with the Kinetic Group, part of our mission, and we talked about this to the tour folks that were here today, is conserving our heritage and building community are kind of the two tenets that I get to touch on every single day. And so not at only our locations, but within our entire regions and where our products are, literally from end to end, corner to corner of our country. And we want to make sure that we're there to support our end users, oftentimes your member, to do that. So I get to manage relationships for all of our various brands, for all of the great conservation organizations like Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever and others that are there in the space, as well as our youth shooting sports programs that are getting more youth involved in the outdoors. And then in 5-10 years now recently, a lot of the other underserved communities and the female groups that have been pulling together and some of the veterans organizations that are trying to, re-engage some of those folks that maybe participated at one time, and then whatever happened in life, they maybe went away and haven't hunted or shooting sports, recreationally for some time, to bring them back into the fold, right? So there's that R3 scenario where we're recruiting new, we're retaining current, and we're reactivating those that maybe had an experience, previously in their life, and trying to bring them back into the fold. And most of the time, those folks are the ones that maybe have, a little more income, maybe a little more free time if they've got opportunities, or empty nesters as their kids go off to school and leave their household. Maybe they can get more involved in some of the conservation projects, whether it's a seeding project or a shrub or a fence removal project that your chapters are doing. We can bring those folks into the fold. And they're part of our community, right? They're end users of our products, and we as a company want to make sure that we maintain that direct relationship with those that use our products, mm-hmm. not just putting an ad in a magazine or putting a TV commercial together, which are certainly important to tell our story, mm-hmm. and what it is that we do. We want to make sure that we're there at the grassroots level as a company, to support the organizations, but also to support the consumers that are using our products.
And you work with every organization, pretty much everything,
yeah.
from Delta Waterfowl, Rough Grouse Society.
You throw it, if it's something that's being chased in the hunting community or whatever, whether it's a bird on the wing or if it's a big game species, like, we are connected at one level or another, via some sort of sponsorship, some sort of relationship, some sort of partnership. And that's really where we try to focus our time and effort is, everybody talks about, oh, you're a sponsor here and you're a sponsor there. We want to be good partners. We want to be building relationships with the organizations, with the memberships, because that's our end user. When you look at our factory where those folks are walking right now and touring our factories, I don't even know. It'd be interesting to do a survey to find out what percentage of memberships we have across the board, across all of our organizations. Mm-hmm. We support the local banquets here. We go to a lot of them. We'll buy tables at them. And we'll do drawings and raffles and things for those at our factory to go and attend those events, to get more involved.
So, one of the notes I wrote down during your presentation before the tour kicked off was that Federal is the single largest contributor to Pittman-Robertson dollars in the entire country. So 11%, there's 11% tax on all ammo, and the collection of Federal brands is the single largest contributor to PR dollars. And for listeners, PR dollars help fund state agencies. They help fund habitat projects. And the reason that I want to underscore that, so on one level, you can look and say, well, they have to do that. That's an excise tax, which is true, but it's still the number one biggest contributor. What I want to underscore is they're already the biggest, federal's already the biggest contributor. Yet, if you look on the federal website, you see every single logo, as John mentioned, of conservation organizations, clay shoots, R3 events. You guys contribute above and beyond. What you were just talking about, all those partnerships, has nothing to do with the PR, the Pittman Robertson dollars. It's on top of, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys see the biggest picture of being partnered with all these groups.
Well, it's an important mission of ours, I guess, to stay engaged, right? Because we stay engaged with all of these organizations, but we also want to, you know, we cut the check on a quarterly basis. It goes in for the PR tax, which is great, and we're excited about that. But we actually go one level above and beyond that, which certainly adds to the workload. But, you know, we're a paying member of AFWA, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. That's who, in some cases, there's a multi-state conversation grants, right? So mm-hmm. out of there's $1 billion that go into FET every year, most recently anyway, right? So right around $1 billion that goes into that. The majority of those funds get split up to go to the various states to fund their agencies and their activities of what it is that they're doing. And there's, of course, a equation that's in play to find out how much money each state is able to acquire. But there's also some peel-offs. So there's, I think, $8 million that goes to these multi-state conservation grants that are they're run and operated through AFWA that get to bring in all these grant requests from all different organizations, Pheasants Forever included, others that are there, NSSF and CSF and every other critter group and acronym you can think of, are all able to supply these grants and apply for these grant monies to come through. And it can be everything from research to on-the-ground recruitment and retention, reactivation projects. So as a member of AFWA, Federal Ammunition, the Kinetic Group, you know, we join that process and I represent our companies there. And now I get to sit on the committee that actually reviews those grants and decides where the money goes. Mm. And so from an industry perspective, you know, there's not a lot of engagement on that front. Most of the folks that are in the industry, you know, God bless them for writing the check and to supporting that tax since 1937. It's been around for a long time, supported wildlife conservation across our country and saved a lot of species and a lot of habitat because of it. And other countries are jealous of our, we literally have the best wildlife management program in the world. And it's a lot of to do with this excise tax that's there to support these state wildlife agencies.
And Federal is the only company that I'm aware of in our space that has a dedicated position like John's that takes care of these organizations. And it's obviously over the decades it's evolved, but John's a Packer fan. I'm a Vikings fan, but I always liken his position to
go Lions, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow. This just got a little intense.
The NFC North.
Tough division, definitely. Will
we
be
don't have any Bears
year.
Fans here, but go ahead.
No, they don't matter right now.
Maybe not. We'll find out.
but John's position is like a Packers quarterback. There have only been three in his role, and it, again, it's evolved as the company's grown, and you know he does a lot more than his predecessors have. But you know, it's a unique position for us. He does a great job, and it's something we're really proud of as an organization that we dedicate resources to, not only PR, which is we're just shepherds of the money, but you know the industry raised its hand back in the 30s and said we want to do this. And we've carried on that tradition, and then also, like you mentioned, all the additional good programs that we support on top of that.
So I love the Packers analogy. I'm going to come back to it. Which Packers quarterback is John most like? Has he ever gone on a darkness retreat?
I've not done a dark.
Has he ever taken a photo that he shouldn't have and sent it to anybody?
In Crocs?
That's going to help me determine.
Oh, boy.
He's a Don Majkowski Green Bay Packers. No. And Jordan Love? Do you have a favorite Packers quarterback?
I did enjoy watching Favre play, but I just enjoy watching good quality quarterbacks, and they've certainly had a run at it, and it's been fun to watch them come. So I hope that Love's able to continue to keep playing and doesn't take him so long to warm up in the season, you know.
Such a cheese. You did, have you ever been compared to a Packers quarterback?
No, I don't think so.
Frequent thing from
for anybody that knows me, certainly I'm not built like a quarterback by any means, but it I don't know, maybe I could I'm as accurate, I suppose, as most of our quarterbacks.
I'd be remiss if I didn't, as we talk about your unique position, to mention Bill Stevens, right? That was the kind of the originator of this position, right? And that was also the originator of the conservation relationship between Bill Stevens, Joe Dugan, and Pheasants Forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, I mean, and Jason will have a lot of history and some stories to tell on Bill. But so I got into the shooting and hunting industry through the 4-H shooting sports program. And by doing that, I was one of their national ambassadors, would travel around the country and go to these events and meet with sponsors and donors. And part of that, and one of the founders and supporters of the 4-H shooting sports when they were founded, was Bill Stevens. And so Bill was one of my mentors growing up. And so it's so wild to see this huge full circle of traveling the country with Bill. And he was one that back in the day, and this is certainly before Google Maps or TomTom GPS's or whatever were on the dash of your rental cars, like, he had notes to know whatever town he was going in. He knew of all of the local restaurants to go and eat at. And so I remember traveling with him in the middle of nowhere in like Washington State, and we pulled up to some podunk restaurant there, and we went and ate. It was one of the most delicious meals you ever had, and it was just something that he had in his handwritten notes as far as what it was to travel. So to go and to hear stories of others within, you know, our facility here that worked with Bill, worked for Bill or worked with Bill or supervised Bill, like, it's fun to hear those stories. And for them, they're excited to know that legacy continues to live on for our company and our heritage and support to conservation, because he was a true patriot when it came to supporting conservation and youth shooting sports and development programs that are there.
So if we continue the Packers analogy, he was the Bart Starr.
He was the Bart Starr.
Was he a Packers fan or a Vikings fan?
I got to believe he was a Vikings fan, but I don't know. Yeah, he was through and through a Minnesota guy. Yeah.
He was a trophy-bonded Bear Claw fan, too. I mean, obviously, he liked winged game, but he was big on that bullet. And if you came anywhere near him at a show, he'd grab you by the collar and show you the upset and tell you why you needed to buy it. He was just a great guy and set us up for a long legacy that's been obviously continued.
Absolutely feel the need to mention Bill Stevens' name every time we do we've done a number of podcasts, and his name should be remembered forever, because he's been in Pheasants Forever's history. He was one of the very early advocates to say, we at Federal are going to support your organization. You know, this is back in the mid-80s, in between Bill and Joe Dugan and the creation of the On the Box royalty program, that's been incredibly beneficial to the organization to create funding that's led to Habitat. Bill, no longer with us, but deserves to be remembered.
So. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I have a patch of him, you know, a memorial patch of him in my office. And then, you know, funny enough, before he retired, he did a full rundown and notes over every conservation organization and every group that he worked with and supported. And so there's nothing that ranks higher than where Pheasants Forever was. That was one that was near and dear to him. And so I still reflect back on those notes and
Do you really?
I really do.
I
still have them on my computer, yeah, and it's a full note, you know, some good, bad, and the ugly, right, as far as the organization. Some have come and gone, and some are still here and strong, but literally, like, to a T, he knew exactly where it was, and to think of him looking down on us now, he would be like, told you so, you know, like, he had it to a T, who was going to be successful and where some of the great growth was going to be within the organizations. And so I'll have to share with you some of the notes that he had.
Awesome. Yeah. I was fortunate enough when we started at that, you know, similar time back in 2003, he was still working, still around at that time, and just a phenomenal fellow.
He was. And John and I worked in the desert in Nevada for the shooting day at the range.
Oh, for shot.
Yeah.
I remember you were with 4-H at the time.
Yeah.
I think you even camped out at the range.
I did. I was their security overnight, so I camped out in a not a camping trailer, like a hauling trailer. You know, just rolled a sleeping bag right out there, and I was. But that event now has grown to be astronomically larger than what it was back in the day.
So you slept. You were the security.
I was. So we had all the stuff, and at the time, like, we would set up our own tents and we would do everything. Mm. And you know, we probably had only a dozen vendors or 20 vendors, but Federal being one of the larger, you know, supporters of that, because at the first time when it first started, was there was still connections to the 4-H program that were there, and it's kind of a fundraising connection deal for them. But so I'd work all day working on getting targets and tents and everything set up, and then everybody else would go and I would stay sleeping there with all the guns and ammo and optics and everything that we had set up in the middle of nowhere.
And how old were you?
Oh, at that time I would have been, you know, 18, 19, 20.
Yeah. It's funny. So as you're telling that story, I'm thinking back to my time working for the St. Paul Saints and baseball team. And I was, you know, like maybe 22. And similarly, I was the security, the overnight, anytime there was a concert. Because, you know, the semis would come in the roadies and they'd put up a concert in center field. And they'd need a full night to set it up. And then after the show, then, you know, and the show would end at like 10, 10:30, they'd have a full night of tearing it down. So I had two nights of sleeping on the trainer's table in the locker room. Like every 45 minutes or an hour, I'd like poke my head out. I was like, yep, everything's fine. Like, I remember this REM concert one time. Like, I woke up and went into – no, it was the Warp Tour. The Warp Tour. I woke up in the trainer's room, went into the laundry room, and Moby was sitting on a washing machine in his tidy whitey. He's like, nothing to see here. But the things you had to do in your 20s, from a security perspective, just wild.
Luckily, nothing was stolen, and I didn't see anybody in their underwear in the desert. So we're
Oh, the stories. Well, I will transition us back on target here. I want to give a shout-out to Purina Pro Plan once again, a proud partner of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and the presenting sponsor of On the Wing podcast. All of my pups eat Purina Pro Plan, not just because Purina supports wildlife habitat conservation, which is incredibly important to me and should be important to you as well. But I feed my pups Purina also because they have the team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists behind their dog food. Purina Pro Plan was made for the working bird dog like yours and like mine. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. I read that commercial spot about Purina and thinking, well, I could interchange the Purina name for the Federal name. You know, it's like, you guys have always supported the conservation mission of our organization, and you have a team right behind us, of the world's best ballistics folks, research and development folks, creating the best ammunition that we're super proud to put our logo on. So thank you very much. I'm going to go from what's normal cadence for a podcaster to do a lightning round at the end. I'm going to put that right in the middle. So I'm curious. We'll start with Jason, go to John. What's your pheasant hunting setup? Like, what's the shotgun you go to? What's your choke? What's the ammo that you pick when you go pheasant hunting?
Well, I'm an over and under guy. I've been shooting a lot of sporting clays lately, and I've got a Krieghoff that I shoot for that. That's dedicated. Yeah, I know. I finally broke down and got one. It was a tough investment.
I've seen you shoot. You don't even need that, but yeah, you're pretty effective.
Well, thank you. Not, you know, there's always more you can do, and the gun's not the factor. You know, it's what's between the eyes. But you know, for a field gun, yeah, I've got actually a Franke Renaissance. It's lightweight.
I have that too. It was 12 gauge, predecessor to the Instinct.
Yes,
right? I have the 20 gauge version of that.
Yep. So I use that, and yeah, I'm a huge fan of Prairie Storm. Mm-hmm. Storm, of course, and it's hard to beat that product. And I lead number fives. I'm kind of old school in that way. I know there are a lot of different stacked loads out there on the market these days, but the lead fives just work really well.
What choke?
Usually modified or IC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or both. You know, with the double gun, you can do both.
If I recall correctly, lead fives by far is the most popular pheasant load that's purchased. Am I recalling that accurately?
Well, yeah, it's the old, you offer a four, a five, and a six, and most people are going to go right to the middle. So, yeah, the fives are definitely the more popular shot size.
What's your setup like?
Yeah, so funny enough, it's a connection and a story to Pheasants Forever, of all things. And so I actually have I'm an over-under guy, and just most recently have shifted to doing, so I have a side-by-side 28-gauge CZ that was custom-built for one of your past board members.
Huh.
And and he had got it custom-built, had it all sized. He's a left-handed shooter like I am. I'm left-eye dominant, so it was all cast on. Everything was set up, and unfortunately, he passed away. And so they had the gun at CZ, and I used it at an event that PF was sponsoring, and CZ and us were sponsoring the Iowa Governor's event down in Iowa years ago, and they had it there. And he's like, well, yeah, it's, you know, we don't have it. We've been traveling it around, and so really nice wood on it and everything upgraded. So I bought that gun, and so I've been traveling around and using that. So I hunt almost exclusively with that 28-gauge, with the exception of some late-season birds I'll go back to. And I go to my original 870 Express that I had while growing up, the 12-gauge. I found it in my gun safe about the time I bought the CZ, and I said, holy cow, I have not shot this gun in a decade. And so if I'm going to hunt, I'll hunt with a 28 late season stuff. I'll bring out the original 870 pump, and I'll shoot a, you know, usually a 2 3/4 inch 12 gauge Prairie Storm. And I do run Prairie Storm in my 28 as well. And then if I'm going for grouse, I'll shift down to just a straight lead 6 usually or 7.
What about quail?
Quail, so I did use that gun when you and I hunted together down south, and I did the same. I used that particular, that 28-gauge side-by-side, and I think we were running 7.5 shot, were
the
we not?
The Quail Forever Loads.
Yeah, it was. It was the new Quail Forever Loads when we did that one, and it did well. I was able to, in 2 days, shoot the Arizona Slam, so I was just stoked. My legs were tired. Holy hell! It was a great trip, and totally different from day one to day two, from chasing, you know, Merns to Scaled. It was totally different, but a great experience for sure.
Do you have a favorite quail species?
I don't, because I've not hunted a lot. I mean, as far as wild quail, I've gotten into a few coveys of wild quail in Kansas.
Bob Whites.
Yep, but Bob Whites. And then just down there to that trip in Arizona is really the only time I've ever chased quail for a specific time. So I don't have a particular load that I'm going to say this is going to be the best, just because I don't have the experience.
Right.
But that that Prairie Storm, you know, is – or not Prairie Storm, but the Quail Forever load, I think it's just a – we have a 7.5, a 6, 7.5, and an 8, I think, right? Three.
I don't know if there's an 8.
There's not. It's a 6 and a 7.5, and then we have 20 gauge.
And a 28.
Yeah, 20 and 28.
And if folks can find that – and you can find it online.
Sure.
Right? Especially folks that are looking for the go-to rough grouse load, and they want to support a conservation organization like Quail Forever, buy Quail Forever's labeled or logoed products with Federal.
Yeah,
I mean, you cannot find a better rough grouse load
than
those Quail Forever.
It's fantastic. Copper plated lead, you know, if... I honestly, when I go grouse hunting, I'm shooting 7.5s or 8s in another load. But 7.5s mostly is what I primarily shoot, because you're going to be able to shoot grouse. And if you get the opportunity and you start bumping woodcock, you can hammer the woodcock and not tear them apart with some of those larger shots. So I almost 7.5 exclusively in the Northwoods. But that copper plated load is you're right. It's hands down probably the best one that there is to offer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, that is your takeaway hack for this episode. I swear to God, I got a case and a half of Quail Forever loads in my closet for specific to, like, that's my quail load, but it's also my rough grouse timber doodle load. It's it's magic.
Yep.
Jason, beyond pheasants, what's your load for grouse, quail? What's your lower level load compared to, you know, knocking down a big rooster?
Well, I was going to say the Quail Forever load is fantastic for grouse. And then, you know, also we've got our Blue Box product. It's kind of your more, you know, just middle of the road, but it works really well, too, for grouse, and you know, depending on what time of year it is, and grouse, but there's a lot of cover in the North Woods, right? You know, I've not yet like given up on firepower for grouse, but I do shoot a 20 gauge. It's like there's no
what kind of firepower are we talking about?
they can really
shot?
They can really make you look like a monkey out there. So
yeah,
you
know.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What's the best part about working for Federal? What makes you smile the most?
I think the best part is things like this, right? Hmm. We get to talk about our passions and what we like to do in our spare time. You know, we're here because we feel strongly about improving habitat. That's why we partner with Pheasants Forever, about leaving, you know, the land in a better place with more animals for people in the future to shoot, introducing new people, and just having that common ground of hunting and spending time outdoors.
It does feel like whenever I meet anybody, whether they're working the line or working in the front office, that they're passionate outdoors people, men and women that work for Federal. Any idea what percent of employees hunt?
That's a good question. And we ought to do a survey and find out, but it's going to be a high percent.
It's got to be. Yeah. I mean, it feels, just in my personal interactions, that it's through the roof.
And even the people who don't hunt appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably have family members who hunt and they like to eat wild game. So yeah, there's definitely an affinity for the products here. It's not just toothpaste that we're selling. It's product that people, you know, choose to spend their discretionary dollars on and spend their free time using, and that's what makes the difference in the culture.
Spend their money on logoed product because they want to be brand ambassador. You're wearing a poncho Federal shirt, and you know that you guys have a whole store of merch because people are proud to wear the Federal name on their chest.
Yeah, and you see it in the communities around our factory here in Anoka. I mean, I live a little bit further northwest of here, but had my daughter's track and field day on Tuesday, and I think in the field there, I saw at least two other employees and three kids that had Federal clothing on. And so it's just one of those things that there is a lot of you know, there's a lot of pride when it comes to working here, and there's a lot of, you know, longevity in our employees, you know, tenured employees and generational employees. You know, we had Josh, who's here doing the tour with everybody, our product manager and shot shell here at Federal. He's a fourth generation employee. Mm. And so, you know, to answer that same question that Jason just did, I would say it's the people, and it's not only the people that we get to work with every day, but for me, lucky enough to be an outfacing employee, that I get to work with communities like Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, and all the others across the board, is I get to share the passions of our employees to these other organizations and people and tell these stories. You know, where my office is a lot of the engineers and a lot of, there's some marketing folks that are there on the rifle and the shot shell side. And we've got a 4x8 poster board, or a pegboard outside of our offices where, you know, somebody went on their own dime and bought a picture printer, and we get pictures, and we'll have a spring section and a fall section, and it's all about outdoor pursuits. Whether, I mean, I would be afraid to actually document the amount of turkeys that are up there right now just coming off of turkey seasons in most areas, but literally it's just plastered from top to bottom, left to right, of pictures of turkeys, and it's pictures of, you know, this engineer and their son. It's myself and my daughter. It's all of these that are family-oriented folks that are out there. It's buddies. It's connections of a rifle engineer who's been talking with a shot shell engineer, and the next thing you know, they're planning a trip to Montana to go chase mule deer. Or there's one of our marketing, you know, colleagues of Jason and I's who's working with a rifle engineer just in connections and talking, and they're going to Alaska on a caribou hunt. And oddly enough, using the same drop-off scenario as our packaging engineer is coming out with his buddy. So they're going in and they're coming out, and so they're going to see each other in Alaska. And so the connections that our employees build just by stopping and grabbing a cup of coffee and working between departments is just fascinating to me to oversee and to see that happening. But then to be able to be lucky enough to be one of the folks that gets to travel around to, you know, events like Pheasant Fest, right? Mm-hmm. You pull into Pheasant Fest and we've got our engineers along with us. We've got product folks from our teams that are there. But to make those connections and introduce them to people, you know, to see Kurt come from North Dakota now 3 years in a row, mm-hmm. and knows most of us on a first name basis, and we'll still text throughout the year. We'll check in on his hunting seasons. He'll check in on ours. And so, you know, we've built those relationships, those friendships. And that's where I talked earlier about We want to be more than a sponsor. We want to be a partner. We want to be a friend. We want to have those connections across the board, not only to the organizations, but to the consumer, to the end user, to your member.
You mentioned National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. You've probably been to every single show, not just of ours, but Delta's show and Turkey's show. You've been all over the country.
Yeah. We don't talk about that at home in front of my wife when it comes to the consumer show season. It gets to be pretty busy when you're traveling around to do those.
You earn some frequent flyer miles. Yeah. So, here's my question, though. What market, and you guys, Federal's been the title sponsor for a number of years now. Of our event, what market have we never been to that Federal would like us to explore bringing our show to? Is there something that comes to mind?
I don't know. I mean, I think last year coming back into Kansas City was that was a super exciting venue, and it was also a celebration for Quail Forever. Mm-hmm. So to be there, kind of on that, you know, call it quasi fringe, right, of the popular quail area, southern
mixed
Iowa.
Mixed bag Kansas. Country.
Yeah, mixed bag country where, you know, not that there's an expectation you're going to go off and chase quail every day, but you've got a good opportunity to get a mixed bag in a day. So, you know, I felt pretty strongly and excited about having that show there so that we can kind of highlight and promote Quail Forever and some of the new things that are happening there and the excitement that are there. But, you know, I don't know if Jason has a thought on, you know, where could be. You know, you've kind of had a really good circle of this upper Midwest, but I do, you know, it's exciting to see some of the stretch markets that you guys work into. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything come to mind?
Well, I mean, other organizations have had a lot of luck going to Nashville. Have you guys never been to Nashville?
Nope.
That town and the way it's grown and become a real, you know, entertainment center brings a lot of people in. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you want to draw, there might be opportunity in a place like that.
It's a fun town, too.
It is a fun town.
Good music, good food.
Yeah, but otherwise, you guys do a fantastic job with the fest, and you've put it in the right places. I know when it's back here in Minnesota, you know, the home state, everybody gets really excited, and you draw big numbers. So.
Yeah, well, thank you for supporting that as well.
Of course.
You guys, I can name programs, initiatives, efforts. You guys, you know, I've had your name over virtually everything we've ever done.
Yeah.
So
and
thank you.
And you're not just hosting the same event every single year. You're constantly looking at what it is that your members are looking for and some new exciting things, the Concert for Conservation, right? I mean, how cool of an opportunity is that? I mean, I'm looking over here at Jason. Jason's got both of your posters in his office that he's got there.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
So, they've been fun, right?
Yeah. So that's a cool and exciting opportunity. And what a way to kick off a fun weekend than to pull not only folks that are already coming to town for your show, but a bunch of random people. Yeah. I was there, and I had people to my left that had no idea what Pheasants Forever was, let alone even thought about conservation. Same thing with the folks in front of me. And by the end of the night, you know, we're all hooting and hollering, and I'm taking pictures of their whole group, and they're taking pictures of our whole group, and we're telling them the story of conservation, yelling loudly, of course, at a loud concert. But that is a really cool, unique opportunity to offer, you know, and open the door to some of those audiences that we may not connect with normally.
What's the third poster you want in your office? Who do you want to see this year?
Well, it's funny you should ask. We were talking about an unlikely candidate that we happened to see on ESPN the other day. Mm-hmm. Justin Vernon of Bon Iver was wearing a hat, and I've got a keen eye being a brand person. Yeah. I'm like, what is on his hat? It's a patch. It was a pheasant. It was a Beretta hat.
Yeah.
So he's kind of apparently he likes to shoot pheasants. So
we're going to have to explore that one because he wasn't on my radar, but I saw the exact same. Honest to God, I saw the exact same interview. He was announcing a partnership with the Minnesota Lynx, a WNBA team, which was in and of itself super interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, here's a musician partnering with the WNBA team. Like, what are they doing exactly? So... he's not too far away. He's in southwestern Wisconsin. So there's the bat signal.
Yeah, yeah. And and the thing about his music, I mean, it's we say unlikely because there are a lot of people who you don't necessarily think of as hunters who enjoy getting outside and shooting. Obviously, there's probably a regional bias being from the Midwest, but, you know, a lot of people just need to be introduced to the opportunity to go out and shoot and enjoy friendly banter with friends.
And that, you know, big picture, that was the genesis of the concert. And, you know, talking with Dave Simonette, Trampled by Turtles, and like, hey, we'd like to, you know, broaden our audience, people that don't necessarily, you know who Pheasants Forever is. You know, obviously we want to put on an entertaining event and create another layer of something to do for our attendees and at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, get them there on Thursday, go see the show. But, you know, frankly, we are trying to broaden the audience to the local population in the market where we're going, who may be Trampled fans or Muscadine fans and are conservation curious, let's say, right? And get them interested. So, you know, if we can get Bon Iver, we might bring the Swifties along because they're collaborators, right?
That's right.
Who knows?
That's right.
What's the one thing – we'll start with John. What's one nugget that – people like Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever members, listeners to the podcast, it may not know, and just a nugget about Federal that is, oh, that's super interesting, like the Cliff Clavin moment. And I'm thinking about, you know, during your presentation, not to steal an obvious one, but the lead for the lead shot in your ammunition, 98% of that lead comes from recycled car batteries.
Yeah, which, there you go. You answered the question for me, but that is a very...
Super interesting nugget that I don't think people would have knowledge of. Is there any other things that, you know, 1,500 employees here, the largest employer in Anoka County. I don't know, anything that comes to mind that is, you know, interesting factoid.
Yeah, so I would say that, just to kind of caveat on the backside of the lead comment is the amount and the opportunity that we have as a company to be stewards of the environment and stewards of, you know, our community is the amount of recycling and what it is that we do here at our factory to make sure that we can not only maintain our operation here, it's been here for 103 years, but we can continue that on and move forward, you know, here and at all of our other facilities is the amount of recycling that we do. And so, you know, as those folks are out there, those on the tour right now, they're seeing, you know, plates that are going to be punched for shot shell heads. And then all of that is then bound back up again and pushed back to our, you know, recycler. And they're going to bring that back into another product for us to then go through and to utilize. And, you know, so we're fully vertically integrated here. We're bringing raw materials in and finished product out. And we're trying to leverage all the synergies that we have within the umbrella of the Kinetic Group to make sure that we can, you know, continue to keep making it and making, you know, ammunition in America for not only these consumers of hunters and recreational shooters, but also to support our law enforcement and military that we do for all of our product side. And so I would say that. And then the other tidbit that's always fun, and I speak to a lot of, you know, youth organizations, development groups, whether it's, you know, competitive shooting programs or 4-H shooting sports or others that are there. And, you know, and I always comment because everybody wants, you know, and like you said, I have a very unique job and I'm blessed to have this as a position to go and do what I do. But we have so many people in under the rooftops of Federal and all of our brands at the Kinetic Group. You know, we have more engineers than we probably have accountants, and we have more accountants than we have marketing staff, certainly. And we have, you know, more of these outside of the box, you know, positions that you normally don't think about. Like, oh, I want to work for an ammo company. I want to go to all these shows. I want to do all this fun stuff or whatever. I want to be on TV. I get all these letters of all these kids that are wanting to, you know, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. Will you sponsor me? And I get those comments a lot. And I'm like, there's a chance to be part of the greater team and the greater organization and to support in so many different ways, right? We have all of these connections of, you know, we've got finance folks, we've got sales teams, and we've got engineers that
are chemists,
absolutely. We've got engineering teams that a lot of folks would never even think of. We have engineering teams that are doing nothing but maintaining factory machinery that's decades old, and it's machines that are one off. They're one in the world most times, right? And it's not like you can just, you know, let's call up the company. We need a new bit or whatever. You know, it's like that's not something you can do. And so as you walk through our factory, which you've toured many times, you know, we have multiple machine shops throughout our company because when you need to build a new machine, you know, a new piece to keep the machine up and running and maintained, you have to build it from nothing, right? Yeah. And so we've got engineers. That's what they do. And
you
so,
got a whole bunch of George Costanzas in there.
Vandalay Industries.
So to me, I think that's something that's unique or whatever in that connection is that there's so many different ways to be part of the bigger picture. Mm. And I would imagine that that's very similar to the PFQF scenario, right? I mean, everybody sees, they listen to the podcast, all these folks are listening to there, and everybody wants to be Bob, right? Everybody wants to be the face oftentimes of those folks. But what, you know, how many employees did you say? Over 500 employees now? Over 600 employees or whatever. So there's people that are there, you know, pedaling the bike, you know, no offense, but they're pedaling a hell of a lot faster than you are, right? I mean,
they're getting their fingernails dirty for Habitat.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's where the glory really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to be able to be the storyteller of those folks, not only staff, but also volunteers, you know, is probably a pretty exciting part, for you.
Any factoids that come to mind for you?
Well, we have the advantage of, with our 100th anniversary just a few years ago, we looked back in the archives and found out a lot of interesting tidbits about Federal. Since we're talking shot shells and pheasants forever, you know, Federal started the safety protocol of color coding shells for different gauges.
No kidding.
So that's become industry standard. The 20-gauge shell is yellow because Federal was on the forefront of, you know, trying to visually identify those. So I think, you know, safety's always been paramount for us. We also started the 3.5-inch shot shell, and some people are probably not going to like us for that one. Back in the 80s with Mossberg, we developed a 3.5-inch shot shell. So
that's cool.
That one is not...
not as loved as...
because it kicks.
Back to the color, why are 28s and 12s the same color?
So that it's kind of, if it's evolved, you know, we 16 gauge is purple, 10 gauge is brown, but then those, you get down to the smaller sub gauges, it's so easy to identify a 410 shell.
What color
just
is
based
410?
On its 410 is maroon for us.
Okay. So. But in other brands can be other colors, but the standard across the board is that 20 gauge is yellow. Mm-hmm. So you won't find
that was what the catalyst was.
That was
for
the biggest risk.
Change.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that was a lot of it was back in the – it was, you know, you hear the challenges of, you know, you hear 2012 issues, right? Because those are two very common cartridges. And as 20-gauge, you know, continues to stay on strong, can be one of the ones that was more easily mixed up in your bag, right, or in your pouch. And so we wanted to make sure from the safety aspect of it that color is very well noticeable, that it's yellow and it's not red or it's, you know, it's not something else.
The blue shells, those are for – police, right? Or is that, am I only just thinking about it because of the connection with you guys making, I seem to recall on a previous tour, you make blue shells for LAPD.
We do for law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement, slugs and buckshot are blue. We've also introduced blue as part of our red, white, and blue Top Gun series that gives money back to wounded warriors.
Okay.
And we also have now another new product called Masterclass for sporting clays that uses a blue hull.
And there's you have done pink before too, if I recall, for Susan Komen, is it?
They didn't partner with us, but we do have another organization that supports breast cancer.
So we still have those as active SKUs. So red, white, and blue, you know, is our TGL-12 US load, and those are for wounded warriors and different organizations that way. Our pink shells are very similar. And then, you know, for talking about another one of our sister brands under the Kinetic Group of Remington, you know, they launched a gun club, and it's a Keir load, and so it's a really light blue color, and it is funded for children's hospitals there in the community. And so just another way for us to try to give back to those local areas. But I think where you were going to on that law enforcement side, there is, you know, particular colors for the law enforcement community so that they know, you know, a very quick visual between lethal and non-lethal rounds. So if they're running a sandbag type load versus an actual buckshot or sabo, then they would know that color difference. So that's where you're seeing that bright blue color versus what they would run for some of their other colors, that they would know the difference between a lethal versus non-lethal.
I've only taken that tour once, so I wouldn't be able to give guide that. I do want to change the conversation, well, to add on to the conversation, talk very specifically about a new product hitting the market this year as we kind of round third base and head towards home. And that's the, I think you guys are calling it heavy bismuth, a steel bismuth combo, which I talked with Dan, you know, on a podcast maybe 6 months ago, and it just captivated me because I've had tremendous success shooting bismuth. I really got hooked on it with the meat eater load you guys used a few years ago or had brought to market a few years ago, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be trying out this new steel bismuth combo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's we still do have a regular Federal heavy bismuth load that's there. That's we call it a good crossover load for upland and waterfowl loads. But the new load that you're referring to is it's a Prairie Storm heavy bismuth blend, and so that brings it into that Prairie Storm family, which then of course bears the Pheasants Forever logo on the side of the box, on the top of the box. But it's a 12 and 20 gauge offering as of right now for that particular product. And for those of you, you know, certainly listening on the podcast, you know, the difference between, you know, lead or tungsten or bismuth or steel shot, you know, it all comes down to that density. And so bismuth allows you to have a higher density, which means you can usually use a smaller shot size and increase your pellet count. So not only are you going to increase your lethality for the bird that you're chasing because of that density, you're also going to increase your pellet count, which then has a lot stronger of a pattern. For what, you know, for those of you that, you know, may not be the best of shots, right? You can you can have a little bit more
did
liberal
opportunity. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not all
guilty.
Yes,
guilty.
Yeah. You know, not everybody can get out and practice as much as what you'd like to, right? I mean, everybody that's listening certainly is like, I'm going to shoot all summer long. I'm going to be ready to go for fall. Well, then, you know, T-ball schedules hit and camping trips and everything else with their families. And so, so there's a lot of great benefits to it. Plus, because it's a heavy bismuth blend and a steel shot blend, it is, you know, registered as a certified non-toxic shot, so that you can take it through whether you're going on maybe a wetland production area or somewhere that you were required to use, you know, a non-traditional ammunition. You can utilize this product and not have to worry about swapping bags and swapping pouches and going through those motions to make sure that you're following all the local restrictions that you might be for where you're hunting.
I'm super excited. When can people start looking for it on shelves? Do you know?
Should be this summer.
Yeah. So I think they should be cranking up and getting things loading right now. I mean, right now through there. So it should be there in the summertime ahead of those fall seasons for this year, like I said, in a 20 and a 12 gauge. And this is another one of those opportunities. We've talked several times throughout the podcast about, you know, the kinetic group and the synergies that we have. And so, you know, this is actually the heavy bismuth is a heavy shot bismuth that, you know, they're casting in Sweet Home, Oregon. So it's another one of our companies within, you know, the umbrella of the kinetic group that, you know, is able to build this really high level bismuth product and then bring it over to here, and we're able to put it into the shell that we have of Prairie Storm, which the technology of the flight control flex wad and all the great things that we have here with our consistency of loading and the market that we have to support your members and the consumers to bring that into there. So, you know, Prairie Storm heavy bismuth 12 gauge, 20 gauge, should be midsummer, but certainly ahead of the fall seasons, you'll see it on the shelf.
Do you know the shot sizes?
So shot sizes are going to be on the steel side, it's going to be 3s or 4s, and the heavy bismuth is going to be 5s or 6s. So depending on which blend that you get, you know, you can get, so it'll be like a, you know, 3 steel and 5 bismuth or a 4 steel and 6 bismuth. So whether you want to go to the smaller shot sizes, maybe for some of the, you know, for me, like I mentioned earlier, right, the earlier season birds, maybe they're not flushing wild as far, so you'd rather have more pellets, you're going to try to go into those smaller shot sizes, and then you can go into some of those larger shot sizes maybe for later season birds. But
thank you for putting our logo on that.
Absolutely, right?
You know, that's it's another contribution. You put the logo and that results in contributions from Federal to Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's habitat mission. And you don't have to do that, but you guys continue to bring additional products to market and put our logo, add our name to your SKUs, and that results in more and more contributions back to our organization. So Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever member listening, you know, you gotta shoot Federal, Heavy Shot, Remington, and now, you know, Fiocchi, but look for the logo.
Yeah, the the logo, and we talked a lot about Prairie Storm, right? That's obviously one of our very high level premium loads. But you know, you are on our you know, premier upland loads that we have. You can very easily see that logo on the side of the box, and
which is where the Quail Forever logo.
And the Quail Forever logo, yep, exactly. We've got those, you know, two or three SKUs in the 28 gauge and the 20 gauge SKUs there, and it has been a fantastic partnership, and we certainly look forward to many more years of doing this, and hopefully, you know, expanding into other opportunities that we can and supporting all the great things. You know, part of the presentation that we did for these auction winners is, you know, they're ponying up and supporting conservation to be here. You know, we feed them full of barbecue, and we tell them about the history of our company. But you guys got a chance to tell them about your strategic plan and what it is as an organization that you guys are doing. You're not only focusing on today, but you're focusing on the forever. And I think that's an important part. And so we as a company are certainly proud to be supporters of that and to be connected with you guys in so many ways.
Yeah, we're very proud. And I know it was many years ago we celebrated 50 million rounds that we produced and that had the Pheasants Forever logo on them and contributed back. So I will have to do another count here soon. But, I mean, that was probably 8 years ago. That
I was thinking a decade.
Yeah. It might have been,
100 million rounds probably within our site.
It is. Yeah, that's we're super proud to do it. Great organization.
Well, likewise. And, you know, we're 25 miles apart, which makes it super convenient, too. But thank you for donating the tour. Thanks for the contributions. Is kind of head towards home. I want to give you guys each opportunity to, you know, offer a closing thought or something we missed. Anything that comes to mind that you want to jump in and, you know, underscore or bring up that maybe we missed during the conversation. We'll start with John.
Yeah, I would say just if there's any opportunities that we as a company can do to connect to you as members of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Obviously, we, you know, we support the organization at a national, very high level in a lot of cases. And then, you know, in the local and regional levels where we have facilities because our bandwidth is there to be able to do that. But if there's opportunities to connect with Pheasants Forever, to connect with, you know, federal on all of our social channels, to be able to have those. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'm never going to post or I'm never going to send a message in because nobody ever listens. You know, I'm here to tell you that we do listen. We've got, you know, our marketing team, we're looking at those comments and we're connecting and we're trying to answer the questions that do come into there. So, you know, one, if you have a technical question or have any sort of, you know, specific thing that you want to know about or learn about, certainly reach out to us across all those social channels, and our social team that manages all of that, they filter it to the right person to make sure that it gets there so that we can answer those questions. And then, you know, if there's a need for a new product or something that you know, maybe would like to see somewhere down the road, you know, in a lot of these cases, you know, Prairie Storm is a great example of something that, you know, our engineers came through and designed on what the product is. And we actually leaned on Pheasants Forever to come in and help us with the naming scheme of what that is, that now has landed as Prairie Storm and has been around for, you know, a number of years and been super successful. And so, you know, that's a pretty cool thing for Pheasants Forever to be able to hang their hat on and say they were kind of part of that. So for me, it's all a matter of, you know, that connection and opportunity for us to connect with those end users.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, you know, whether you reach out via email or drop a comment in the podcast post on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, I'm sure, you know, either I or you or we'll read it, right? We'll see.
We collaborate a lot, right? Yeah. So when this goes live, you know, we'll make sure to push it through on our channels and vice versa when it comes to those things. And so if you're, you know, more comfortable reaching out to Pheasants Forever on something, certainly please do so, because they're, you know, they're on and active on every platform that there is out there, and as are we. But we do stay connected.
On. Jason, final thoughts, and they're yours.
Yeah, I think the most exciting and fun part of what we do is tell great stories. We create great stories and we retell them. And just like we're doing on this podcast, tell the story of Pittman Robertson dollars, the dollars that people who buy ammunition pay to give back to habitat and to ranges. Tell those stories, share with people who don't know, and tell the stories of your time in the field, of the game that you shoot and eat, and how delicious it is, and share that food with others, and try to introduce new people. And, you know, let's really emphasize that forever piece of your namesake.
Yeah, well, and you bring up food, too. It's like so often, you know, there's the trophy tailgate shot, and there should be the trophy plate shot at the end, too, right? Because yeah. It is all about sustenance. You know, at the end of the day, we're out there putting wild, clean proteins on our plates for our family. Do you have a favorite wild game meat? Anything? Oh,
I had the opportunity to eat moose.
Yeah.
And yeah. Honestly, moose is fantastic.
Yeah, moose is very good.
And grouse and pheasant are also some of my favorite, yeah.
John?
Yeah, when it comes to the birds, it's hard to beat a pheasant. I mean, you can cook it so many different ways and share it with so many different people that may not enjoy different things, sure. You know, and so, so I would definitely say pheasants and you know, quail and grouse certainly fall into that boat as well.
You think moose beats elk?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. It's just absolutely
not as easy to come by in most cases, right? That's the challenge. Moose is very delicious. Don't get me wrong, but you know, when it comes to large game there, I would say, you know, moose or elk for sure on that, yeah. But I'm not going to turn down any sort of venison steak.
I think we have to, next time we come over, we have to have it like kind of a taste test.
There we go.
Yeah.
A blind taste test. We'll try quail and pheasant and rough grouse. And we'll have a little moose, elk, venison.
Yeah, we should. We have a couple very talented employees here that are in various departments that love to cook. And so we'll have different events where we'll have folks that will come through and bring in wild game to share, right? And so we should do that.
As a, yeah, that'd be
and
fun.
And plus we live here. Yeah. It's a little potluck, you know? Yeah.
Sounds like back in the old days we would meet for meetings and play Big Buck Hunter after B-dubs. Oh, those were different times. Yeah. All right, folks. Guys, thank you very much. Jason Nash, John Zinnel, terrific partners, but more importantly, friends. Thanks for what you do for our organization. Thanks for what you do for conservation and our hunting heritage. Just really enjoyed spending time with you guys.
Likewise.
Thank you, Bob.
Folks, thanks for listening. I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always buy Federal ammunition with the Prairie Storm or with the Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever logo, but always follow your dog. Something good will rise. Thanks for listening, folks.